It's Orlando and Sandy, presented by SCL Mortgage. Here's the great Sandy Clough and Denver Broncos all-decade right tackle Orlando Frank.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that...
Hour number two on the way, and yes, we bring in one of the great... sports correspondents, and I talk about electronic media, print media. He's done both with the Houston Chronicle and covering the Houston Oilers, the Houston Texans for the better part of 45 years. You can hear him, I believe, still occasionally, somewhere between occasionally and regularly on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We speak, of course, of one of the great football correspondents of our time, John McClain, who joins us now. And, John, first of all, first and foremost, we know there are 3 million people or thereabouts in your state operating without power at the present time. How are you doing?
Well, I appreciate the introduction, and thank you. As of yesterday, there were 1.4 million in Houston without power.
Yeah.
We went 3 days, got it back last night. I will never, ever take power for granted again.
Yeah.
John, I know that the Texans have said that they're not going to trade Watson, and you're hearing that they're still high on him, or they still want him there, but... couldn't he theoretically just sit out? Like, you know, what does that mean for that organization if he decides not to show up?
Well, first of all, they have no intention of trading him because he's a great quarterback. He's coming off a great season. He improved in every statistic. It didn't translate to victories because he had no running game and the defense was awful. But Watson played great. He's under contract for 2025. They signed a $256 million extension. Everybody here loves Deshaun Watson, the team, the fans, the media. I love covering the guys. I tell people when Warren Moon was traded after the 1993 season to Minnesota because of this newfangled salary cap that was being implemented and nobody had a clue how to handle it, they got rid of their highest paid player, and they hadn't had a great quarterback since until they got Watson. So from a selfish perspective, I hope they don't trade him. And his only alternative would be to retire. Now, as far as sitting out, I believe, and I don't know because Watson has not said publicly, and neither is his agent, David Mulgetta, what the problem is. And he has not returned their calls, and he has not returned to call a new general manager, Nick Casario, a new coach, David Kelly. And until they actually meet, and I would think at some point before the draft, Mulgetta and Watson would want to meet with Casario and David Kelly and offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, who Watson loves, and said he wanted him kept, and they did, then they're not going to know. Everything's turned in. And my opinion is this. They can let him sit and let him sit out the offseason, preseason, we have one, regular season. I think he would come in with 4 games to play because that's how you get credit
yes.
for your contract. So he's due to make $10.3 million this year, next year $35 million. And so there's no way he's going to sit out the season and have that contract toll and make $10 million next year. So, you know, at some point, if they listen to Watson in a meeting and he explains to them why he wants out, and then Casario and Cully explain what their plan is to try to turn around a team that's gone from 11-5, 10-6, division champions, to 4-12, and down the toilet, and they tell him their plan to put people around him. He's got receivers, tight ends, and linemen. He just needs a running game. And he still wants out after that. And I think they should trade him. And if they do, it should be before this draft. Because say he stays out next year and somebody made him an offer before the trading deadline, the end of October, 1st of November, they're not going to get what they could get now.
Yeah.
And if they waited another year, when more teams have solved quarterback issues, they're not going to get what they could get this year. So both sides have dug in, and until they actually meet and hear what the issue is, there's not going to be any news. And one thing I would say, guys, is this. The last thing Watson told us the day after the season when we had our last Zoom with him, he ended everything with, "I just want to hold up a Lombardi trophy." And as I tell everybody, Nick Casario came for the Patriots, spending 25 years with Bill Belichick, has 6. And if I ever got a meeting, I'd bring those Lombardi replicas, I'd bring my 6 Super Bowl rings and say, "I know how to do this." And it starts with a great quarterback. You're a great quarterback. Let's do this together. And if you still want it out, I'd trade.
Does the fact that Carson Wentz just got traded, John, this morning to Indianapolis have any bearing whatsoever on what Houston might or might not do?
No. No other trade has anything to do at all with what the Texans are going to do. They told us that publicly, privately. They've said publicly every time we're in a position to ask them, whether it's the owner, the general manager, the head coach, same thing. Watson is their quarterback. Now, at some point, there's never been a quarterback traded like him coming off such a great season.
Yes.
Who is beloved by everybody, pillar of the community. And it would have to be a record-breaking price. And I've been saying from the get-go that negotiations should start with the Jets, who have the 2nd overall pick, and they could be guaranteed of getting the 2nd-best quarterback prospect.
Right.
Jets also have 4 number one picks the next 2 years. They were bad this year. They'll be bad next year at least. They have the Seahawks, other 2 number ones. So they could ask for 4 number ones and Sam Darnold and play him till the 2nd pick is ready and then trade Darnold for a pick. They could ask for defensive end Quinnen Williams. Whatever the deal is, it's got to be where people go, "Oh, my God, I can't believe they traded that for Deshaun Watson," because if you do it, he should solve your quarterback problem for 10 or 15 years. And as I tell him about New York, he would steal thunder from the Giants. He'd be the best quarterback in Jets have had since Joe Namath, but he has no trade clause. But we think the Jets are one of the teams he would go to because Robert Saleh, their new coach, was one of the ones he wanted the Texans to interview, and they did not.
Yeah.
John, why is Jack Easterby running things down there in Houston, and what's his connection with the owner?
It's amazing. Jack Easterby was with the Patriots for 6 years. He was a character coach. His role was to be an advisor, a counselor for the players. And everybody said he did a great job. Said players said if they called him at 2 in the morning, he acted like he was wide awake and he listened to any troubles. And then Bill Belichick started relying on him, not on personnel, but for him evaluating players, you know, the character part, the mental part. And then some players like, "Well, you know, do I trust him if I want to talk to him confidentially?" So his contract was up. And 3 teams were interested. Bill O'Brien, who didn't know him, but he was recommended to O'Brien by Belichick. He hired him, not as a character coach, came down here as the vice president of team development. And when he got here, he and O'Brien became really close. O'Brien was a coach and a general manager. Well, as the general manager and head coach, O'Brien had his hands full. He had final say on personnel. He needed help with everything else a general manager does. And that was all budgets, contracts, medical, nutrition, strength and rehab, all those things. And he didn't have time, so he put Easterby over it. And Easterby would come to him when he wanted to do something, and O'Brien would sign off on it. So then that was in last year he was promoted to executive vice president of football ops. And then he started, because O'Brien trusted him so much, he didn't make personnel decisions, but he wanted his opinion on personnel decisions, as he did the personnel department and the coaches. So people thought he'd gotten out of his lane. He was not what he did in New England, and now he got in good with the McNair family. They believe in him. They said, "We're not firing him. He's not resigning. every day here. Somebody in the media demands that he's fired.
Right.
There's controversy about him every day, but the McNair family is stuck behind him. And Nick Caserio admitted they're good friends from their days in New England, and so he's working closely with Caserio as he did O'Brien, and people don't like it.
Is Watson upset from, as much as you can tell about it, is he upset more with him or with Caserio or with McNair? Which one of those three? And what I'm talking about, I guess, or asking you about, who needs to repair the relationship most? Is it, at the end of the day, McNair?
Well, first of all, the Texans have reached out to him. And Watson, at the end of the season, told us he wanted that he and Cal McNair had met, they'd had lunch. He wanted to be involved in the coaching search. Now, not hire the coaching search, but put some people out there.
Sure.
He liked Eric Bieniemy. He never
right.
met Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
He liked Robert Saleh. He never met Robert Saleh. And, of course, David Culley was on nobody's list.
No.
And he never said anything about the GM, even when we asked him. And the first sign of discontent came when they hired Caserio. Now, that's the third time they tried to get Caserio. There's no personnel director more deserving of being a general manager in 25 years, working with the Patriots the last 13 as Belichick's right-hand man, helped him win 6 Super Bowl rings. So he didn't have a problem with Nick Caserio. The problem was he thought he was going to be involved, and they didn't tell him that that's what they were doing, and he had to learn it on social media. Now, remember, that didn't come from Watson. It came from, quote-unquote, unnamed sources close to Watson
yeah.
leaked to the national media. We've had nothing leaked to us. It's all the national guys at ESPN and NFL Network. So Cal McNair sent him an apology and didn't hear back from him. And then during the process of hiring a coach, which was all Nick Caserio, they tried to keep him up to date, but he didn't get back to him, and he still hasn't gotten back to him. So I would imagine, you know, if he would meet, they'd meet with him in a heartbeat. They'd fly to wherever he wanted to do it. If he wasn't at home in Houston, and Cal McNair's apologized, he'd apologize to him in person if he could. And then Caserio and David Culley, they had nothing to do with any of this, but they're running the show. So they just want a chance to show Deshaun Watson, here is our plan.
John, what do you think when, you know, you're hearing this Deshaun Watson news and then you're looking at, you know, other players, DeAndre Hopkins kind of weighing in on it, J.J. Watt now completely out of that organization, gets his release. But Andre Johnson, you know, I want to kind of get to that and what he's meant for that Houston Texans organization. But basically he's sending out a tweet saying, yeah, Watson, if you get an opportunity to leave. So what are your thoughts, your quick thoughts on that?
Well, Andre Johnson is about the least controversial player I've ever covered.
Yeah.
Said, stick to your guns. And he ripped Jack Easterby. He said, nothing good has come in that organization since he got there. And that's not exactly right. The first year they were 10-6, won
right.
the division, beat Buffalo and choked a 24-point lead at Kansas City.
Right.
And then it all went down the toilet last season. And everybody here is up in arms. And I tell them, well, we got to wait and see how this plays out. You know, having controversy in off season doesn't mean jack. It's how you get it resolved,
right.
and if it affects regular season. If Watson's not playing, obviously it's going to affect regular season. But fans and media here act like this team's been terrible for a long time, and the fact is they won 4 division titles in 5 years until last season when they went down the toilet and Bill O'Brien was fired after an 0-4 start. Said, I feel bad for David Culley, who's waited 27 years to be a head coach,
right.
and he steps into this mess. And I'll guarantee you, when Nick Caserio took the job after not being able to interview with them 2 times,
right.
when they pursued him, I'll guarantee you, he had no idea about the venom his good buddy Jack Easterby was getting locally.
Yeah.
You know, getting it nationally is one thing. But when you get it locally, as consistently as it is, it affects ticket sales, club seat sales, suite sales, sponsorships, and then you got the Watson controversy. And people don't like the Culley hire because they didn't know who he was, and they didn't like the Caserio hire because he came from New England. They're tired of getting people who come from New England. But I think people give Caserio a chance. he's the only hope they have for turning it around, but it's not going to be quick. Doesn't have first or second round picks. He's got eight after that. If he operates the way they did New England, he'll acquire some more picks.
Right.
Releasing Watt wiped out their cap deficit, and I think the cap will end up being about 185. They're
right.
10.2 under if it is, but so it's going to be a tough way to rebuild when you don't have your first two picks and you got so many bad players, some with big contracts that were negotiated by Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby.
I'm glad that you're giving us all of this because it reinforces my suspicion that I had from the beginning. Because as you can imagine, here in Denver, we're kind of desperate. We had a quarterback wasteland for the last 5 years. So when you even hear that Deshaun Watson might want to be traded, you start listening to people like Kareem Jackson, who knows him well. And indicates publicly that, hey, I'd talk to Watson, and I think he'd be kind of interested in coming here if everything. Kareem Jackson's a smart guy. He played in Houston. He knows it isn't just up to Watson as to whether he gets traded or exactly where he gets traded to, although he does have the no trade. But then Jerry Jeudy was asked about it, the rookie wide receiver who has some of his own problems. And he said, oh, yeah. And he even sent out something, I believe, on Instagram with Watson and a Bronco uniform superimposed. So that's created somewhat of a stir. And my question to you, I guess, would be, could you concoct any scenario by which Watson would get dealt at some point to Denver, and as far as the timeline is concerned, at some point during this offseason before the regular season begins next year?
First of all, let me know what happens when Kareem and all those guys wake up and stop dreaming, because there's no way Deshaun Watson's coming there, because they don't have the ninth pick in the draft.
Right.
And if they trade Watson, it's got to guarantee them that they're going to get one of the top quarterbacks. And I don't know, last year New England was desperate for a quarterback with Tom Brady leaving, so Nick Caserio scouted all the quarterbacks. Have no clue what he thought from Pia Tagovailoa. If he thinks Pia is a franchise quarterback, maybe he makes a trade with the Dolphins. Problem for the third pick, which is the Texans pick.
Yeah.
Problem with the Dolphins is they're good again, and picks are going to be low. That's why, to me, it's got to start with the Jets.
Jets.
Do they keep Sam Darnold, or would they want Deshaun Watson? Anybody in his right mind would want Watson.
Yeah.
If I'm Caserio, I call Urban Meyer, and I say, Urban, you've retired twice because of health reasons, so who knows how long you're going to coach. Do you really want to coach and develop a young quarterback coming off major shoulder surgery?
Right.
Like Trevor Lawrence, best prospect since Andrew Luck, or would you like to have Deshaun Watson for that first pick? And they'd have to have something else, because you're trading a proven player for a guy who hadn't taken a snap in the NFL. But to me, the number two team, the Jets, make the most sense. Sorry to disappoint everybody at Denver.
No.
There's no way. It should have been worse. Tell Vic, he should have lost four more games.
Well, even they couldn't figure out a way to do that. But you're exactly right. You know, the ninth pick, I guess, is okay, but it isn't a top five pick, and we've been saying that down up here in relation to where you are for quite some time. But, you know, desperation in a fan base creates dreams, however unrealistic. John, you're the voice of reason. You're the best. We appreciate your time
today. Thank you very much for having me, and have a great weekend, and stay safe.
Well, you do too. Be well. Be well. We're praying for you.